Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. It is easy to forget the current federal election is not just about the party leaders. While a majority of attention focuses on them, local candidates should play an essential role when voting. At least, that's the theory. Yet with all the American tariffs and threats to Canada, it is understandable. Still, there are local issues. Qualifications, affordability, housing, and more is vital. So is asking direct questions about how local candidates will serve the residents of Northumberland Clark Riding. Here is the first candidate interview. It is with Liberal John Goheen. The order of airing is determined by when the campaigns schedule their interviews. The Liberals were first. I'm so pleased to welcome to the show John Goheen, Liberal candidate for Northumberland Clark. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks for having me here today, Robert. I really appreciate it.
So let's start with the basics. Who is John Goheen?
Well, John Goheen is I'm a proud father of three. I'm a proud husband. I have a wonderful wife, and my family means the world to me. So I have been an educator across our entire riding. I've worked in, I think, virtually every community in our riding, either as a teacher, vice principal, or principal. And I've been an administrator in some capacity for approximately 21 years. And I also actually am a university instructor, and I provide aspiring principals with leadership guidance and how to actually become a principal. So I've taken on a lot of roles in my career, and I've enjoyed every one of them because they've brought a little bit of something to me. But I would say first and foremost, John Goheen is a husband and a father.
What made you decide to run?
That's a great question, Robert. And it comes down to me, it actually comes back to what I just spoke about. There's two pieces in that. One is my professional life that I've had. As I shared with you, I've worked everywhere from Newcastle to Brighton and now up to Campbellford. And as a teacher, I had influence over like a classroom, over the culture and community within a classroom, which is actually why I decided to go into administration, because I wanted to have a greater influence over, you know, to help to support community, right? To move beyond just a classroom into a whole community. And so I had that chance as a vice principal and principal. And I'd like to think that I left the schools and communities that I worked in a better spot. I brought new activities. I was open to new ideas. I kind of looked at it as a way for me to say, yes, like, let's try something new. Let's make the experience better for kids, for parents, and for our community, and engage with them. Personally, I got into this because, as I've shared, I am a father, I am a husband, and I have three boys. I have a 14-year-old, an 11-year-old, and an 8-year-old. And I wanted them to grow up in the same Canada that I grew up in a Canada that where we look out for each other, we take care of each other, we support each other. I've had my own bumps in my journey, as I'm sure many of us have. And, you know, there's ups and downs, and that happens. Nobody ever gave up on me, though, Robert, and that's how I view responsible, good government. We don't give up on people. We support people. We help people. We prop them up until they can help to prop others up. That's what we're supposed to do. We're in service. So, and that's how I see it. So that's why I'm doing it. I want to help to make things better, ultimately.
How do you relax?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I do a few things. My family and I were active. We're big skiers. We love to get out. We try to get out whenever there's no hockey. All three of the boys play hockey, so we're often running to the arena. But we always try to ski together as a family on Sundays. Saturdays normally. Actually, I lied. Sundays is a hockey day. Saturdays is not. And then we like to do things. So we like to four wheel. We have a four wheeler. We like to spend time outdoors. We also, I was lucky enough, I have the knowledge and the experience. I was able to put a pool in at the house. So our boys swim a lot, which is great. And they've become very strong swimmers. So I've been blessed with lots of opportunities. And yeah, it's the relaxing piece. You know, I steal it from time to time, but I'd rather be busy. I'd rather be doing things. I'd rather be occupied. So yeah, relaxing is when I sleep.
That's a guilty pleasure for you.
Oh, here we go. My guilty pleasure. Well, if you'd ask my wife, it would be whiskey. And I will say it up front, I do not drink a lot, but I do have quite a collection of scotches. I share them with friends. Everything I purchase, I open, and I will enjoy a little dram every now and then too. So, but it's I find I enjoy it more in the company of good friends than by myself. So that would be my one little vice, I suppose.
Let's talk about your platform and what you're running for.
Mm-hmm.
Tariffs and affordability are the top two issues on Canadians' minds during this election at this point. It is pretty easy to find out information and arguments about why the leaders of various parties are best suited to lead during this time of crisis. What makes you, not your leader, qualified to be sent to Ottawa to deal with these issues?
Well, that's a great question. And I know I can speak from the leader's point of view, but my own personal experiences, I've represented principals. So one thing many people don't know about me is I do sit on the provincial governing council for the Ontario Principals Council. Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm an economist and then I'm an expert in all of this. But what I am good at and the role that I have taken on in that position is as an advocate. And I speak out. I use my voice. I advocate for the things that I know that are right and I know that people need. And that piece of my work as a professional, I think, will translate into my work as an MP, because I will be continuing to advocate for all members of our constituency, of our riding in Northumberland Clark and across Canada, right? Because we are potentially in an economic war, and it's not a good place to be. I know it sounds like there's been some positive movement today. I believe Mr. Carney was just on the news, just gave a statement that after the election, he's recently talked to Trump, that after the election, he and Trump are prepared to meet, to talk, and to set up new economic and national defense or security agreements for Canada and the United States as independent sovereign nations.
Then let me ask you this. What will you contribute if you're elected? Why are your qualifications better than the next candidate?
Well, I think I'm about people. That's what really matters. I want to make sure that people get the things that they need to be successful. I think if somebody goes to work and they put their time in, they work hard, they should be able to feed their family. They should be able to afford a roof on their head. We have in Northumberland Clark, we are an untapped riding as far as I'm concerned for economic development. We could be at the forefront to tackle the affordability, the housing crisis, all of those pieces. I have talked at length with people at the door around ideas for what I keep referring to them as flat pack homes, but we could be here in Northumberland Clark. We have the expertise, we have the knowledge in the riding to manufacture homes basically with the same panel, and you could use the same panels to build a 1, 2, 3 bedroom home, kind of assemble them on site. And then I've talked to friends who are in the trades about the quick connections between electricity, like to make sure that everything is running properly. So those homes can be assembled on site. You can have a home ready to go in a couple of weeks on a site. And we're in a prime spot between Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, major centers, multiple border crossings. Once we start to work our things out with our neighbors to the south, as hopefully things will start to stabilize a bit more with the great work that Prime Minister Mark Carney is doing. So there is absolutely no reason in my mind why this should not be a destination riding for work, for recreation, and just to live. It's an amazing place.
But considering your experience and the fact that you're new to politics, there's a good chance you're going to end up being a backbencher.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of people that are there that are highly experienced and are probably going to be sitting in the front row. So
absolutely,
the question then becomes, what effect are you going to be able to have in this role that you're going to be able to influence things so that all these things that you've talked about just now, and I'd like to come back to some of them a little bit later, but all the things you've just talked about are going to actually happen in the writing.
And so I will go back to what I said earlier around my advocacy work for principals. And so that work is I speak up and out, and I work with very productively with senior administration, with people from the province on making sure that things happen for principals. I will take that same. I'm not afraid to say things and to push that envelope in a respectful way. Like, I don't want people to think that I'm going to be out there starting fights with everybody, but I do it productively and I do it proactively, and I'm not afraid to do it. And I think that's the big piece. Ultimately, I want to work with anybody who wants to help to make Northumberland Clark a better place. I will put party aside and make sure that we get things done here, because that's what we need to do. And that's what a responsible MP would do to help to ensure that this riding is at the forefront of that advancement that I talked about tackling all of these economic issues that are out there, the affordability issues.
So far, the Liberals have offered a, quote, middle-class tax cut. How do you define the middle class?
You know, I'm going to be 100% upfront with you. I struggle to define the middle class, because I can say, like, I have a great job and I am well paid for my work and I do work hard, but I know I have felt the impact of inflation and those pieces. I am not going to say that I'm middle class, but I don't really know anymore where that line gets drawn, because I think we've all have been impacted by some of the things that have gone on recently, but I think there's a path forward for us too. And I think now we've seen inflation coming back down. We're hearing from Mark Carney about wanting to invest in businesses and invest in Canada. So the Prime Minister is very, very open to helping to improve our country's situation, to create like a made in Canada solution and remove internal trade barriers to help to offset any potential tariff impact. So there's a lot of great things happening. And I don't know. I just don't know how to define that number. But now I'm going to go out and research it and see what it actually is again, because I know it's changed substantially in the past few years. And it matters, because you know what? Like, again, I go back to, you're working. You should be able to support your family. You should be able to put a roof over your head. You should be able to feed your family. It matters.
Well, your party says that a two-income family will save up to $825 a year.
Yep.
That's about $16 a week. How do you think that's going to make a difference in a family of two incomes?
$825 a year, that's a month's worth of groceries. That's a substantial amount of money in my mind. I would love to have an extra $825 a year. It may not be huge money every week if we break it down like that. But over the course of a year, maybe that becomes a family vacation. It becomes a trip away. And, you know, you can't put a value on those kinds of experiences either, right? Like, it's that mental well-being and that family time that's really important. And it has always been a priority for me, family. I have often shared that I view the world as like, you got to take care of your family. You got to take care of your health. And when those two pieces are together, you can excel at everything else.
You rhymed off a list of programs that all involve spending.
Mm-hmm.
What about the deficit? What about the fiscal responsibility side of that?
Absolutely. And so that's a great question. And I know that the Prime Minister Mark Carney, has committed to capping the operational side, the operational expenditures of government. And he wants to use technology to help to make that side of the government more efficient. So he wants to capitalize on AI. And again, it's not about getting rid of people. It's about making people more efficient, right? AI will allow that. It can do sort of those small, like the tasks that take up a lot of people time, freeing people up to actually do people time. People can talk to people. So that is a big focus. And he wants to use the savings generated from that side to help to generate tax cuts for the middle class. I also know that the Prime Minister has been very clear that he wants to take the dollars that we have as a government, as a nation, that are investable dollars, and use that to push private investment as well. And again, like, I can use this flat pack housing as an example, because that private, public, private investment can help to generate, you know, jobs, can help to generate well-paying, stable jobs who can manufacture these types of homes and then get them out to the market, which in turn will generate government revenues to help to further invest in other opportunities for Canada.
Agriculture is the largest industry in Northumberland County. Mm-hmm. What is your party going to do to support local farmers in the face of the pressures from the United States?
Well, I would say it's not even the United States. We know there are tariffs on product on canola, I believe, right now from China as well. And I know that will impact our farmers. I actually, my grandfather was a farmer. My grandfather ran an apple orchard, a large farm operation down in Prince Edward County. We had our own brands of like applesauce and canned tomatoes on store shelves back in the day. And it's a big part of how I grew up. So I know that our farmers need support, especially in getting their product to market. And if we don't have a reliable partner to the south, we need to find new markets for product. And I know there is talk or even around like some of the soy-based product that they turn into like the powders, like the protein powders and stuff. And so I've discovered that actually we don't manufacture much of that here in Canada. We actually ship the raw materials down to the States to have it processed there. And then we ship back the finished powder product here. And I almost wonder, I think there have been some people who have been like, I could start to manufacture that stuff here. Again, that's where we could help to support a small, medium-sized business in getting their operation set up and having a made in Canada solution with Canadian product moving forward. And I think it's just one of, you know, hundreds of possible solutions to help to exploit the Canadian agricultural industry to focus on a made in Canada solution, right? To making sure that the products are marketable. I actually have friends still who are farmers. They do farm and they're great friends. They're actually people who I do go four-wheeling with and spend time with. And I value the things that they share with me about the importance of agriculture. I know how hard a farmer works. I think the expression he said to me was, you live poor and you die rich because you have a bunch of land, but we need to make sure that we protect that arable like farmland so that it's there for future generations as well.
Late last year, there was a public meeting regarding a potential sale of 1,600 acres of prime agricultural land to a developer. Now, farmers and others have expressed multiple times the significance of saving farmland from development. What is your party's position on preserving agricultural land from development?
So, again, we haven't done a policy on that yet that I've seen for this election, but I can say, like, I actually have a neighbor who is a farmer, and I know they were also offered a substantial amount of money for a plot of land that they had. And they turned it down because they said flat out, we need this property for our sustenance. This is how we live. This is how we work. This is who we are. And if we don't have land to work, then it's going to be a problem. And I would agree with them 100%. We do need to protect farmland, and we do need to make sure that there continues to be agricultural properties that are kind of safeguarded. And I do own some A1 agricultural property, and it continues to be safeguarded, and we actually have a farmer use it and continue to use that land as to grow crop.
I appreciate all of this, and I also appreciate the fact that, you know, you're talking about it in terms of policy. I want to know what you're going to do, because you can take action and you can speak out, and I want to know where your position is on this.
Yeah, and that's, again, fair, Robert. I wasn't trying to dodge the question before, and I apologize if it came across that way. I do, as I said, and as I've shared, I do believe in the importance of protecting agricultural property, and I will advocate for that. I will advocate for the protection of agricultural property in Northumberland, Clark, and across Canada, because it is an important industry for us. It's a family-based industry, and we need to also make sure that, you know, we have that property for future generations, because, you know, we got to feed people. We got to keep people's bellies full. It's a good thing.
I'd like to come back to the sustainability piece in a bit.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I kind of get off
a
little bit.
No, it's all right. One challenge locally is affordable housing. Now, you can drive around Northumberland County and you can see all the development that's going on at various stages. Yet, the MLS identifies the market conditions for this area as being weak. The national campaign talks to what will be done across the country. I think listeners want to know, what do you see as necessary to help people in Northumberland specifically?
I think we need to right-size homes again, right? Like we see builders out and the big homes seem to be where the money is at for a developer, right? That seems to be the profit generator for them. And that's why they build those homes. But I think we need to look at how we can support right-sizing homes. I also like the idea of ADUs and additional dwelling units. I can share with you, Robert, that my mother-in-law actually lives with us. So we were neighbors originally. We built next to my mother-in-law to be there to support her and my father-in-law. And ultimately, once he passed, what we did was we took our basement, which is a lovely walkout basement, but I was in the midst of converting it into a big rec room for our children. But my wife and I talked and we made the decision to offer the space to her. And so we actually converted it over into, she has a totally self-contained apartment with all the laundry and a kitchen and all the facilities that she needs. And we have a lobby in between our spaces. So when you come down the basement stairs, we knock on her door like you would at an apartment building. And it's a wonderful space because we're in a multi-generational home. My children have an opportunity to spend time with their grandmother. And they didn't get to meet my mother. She was gone long before they were born. But this is wonderful for them. And I think we need to look at how can we support other families in making these same sorts of multi-generational supports or in supporting in creating small rental units just within their own property, which in turn will help to drive down the affordability issue because as more units become available, you'll see a decrease in rent. And I think ADUs, and I go back again to these flat pack homes or even the mini houses, right? Like the little mini environmental houses. I think there's loads of potential for those. And I'd love to see us really utilizing those options to help to generate additional housing here in this area, affordable housing.
Okay. A lot of this is talking about the future, but homelessness is an ongoing issue and a very divisive one in Northumberland. Now, while the Liberals have touted the national housing strategy as a solution in the past, its impacts are not obvious here in the county. No. The Liberals have had years to make a meaningful dent in our area, yet can you point to projects within Northumberland that demonstrate the benefits of this program directly?
Short answer is I don't believe that I could sit here and confidently do that at this moment, but does that mean that there's not opportunities for the future? No. I will not say that I am still learning a lot as this process goes along. I hope that the National Housing Strategy has had some impact here in this area, but clearly, Robert, you've highlighted for me a piece that I need to learn a little bit more about. So I will take that away and I will make sure to take the time to dive a little bit more into it and become more knowledgeable. I do know there are other things that have happened, but I believe those have been primarily county-based, if I'm not mistaken, as opposed to federally funded or initiated.
What's your position on safe injection sites?
Well, I think that those are some of the most vulnerable people that we have in society. I don't want anybody to suffer from addiction issues. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's problematic and concerning. And I do think that we need to make sure that we're supporting people in moving past addiction as best we can. Because again, those people have the opportunity to become active and contributing members. And we need them back. I go back to what I said at the very, very beginning of the interview, Robert. Good government doesn't give up on people. We care about people. We support people. We try to help people through the tough times so that they can find a better time.
Already in our conversation, we've talked about a couple of things that are going to cost money.
Yep.
And is there going to be a costing provided before the election that's going to outline how all you guys are going to balance all of this out? Mm-hmm. Because they can sound like great ideas, but again, fiscal responsibility is going to be critical in a lot of people's minds. Is there going to be a plan released before the election?
I would very much like to see a costing for everything. I can't, again, I don't want to make a guarantee that it's going to happen. I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth, but understanding Mark and understanding Mark's economic background, I fully, like, I think he's thought through some of these things. He has, he's a world-class economist. His knowledge is, in my mind, second to none. He's respected around the globe. He's been the governor of both the Bank of Canada and the Bank of England. So I think that the economic piece has probably been front of mind for many of the policies that he's announced.
Let's get back to the sustainability. Your party cut the carbon tax, which is an internationally recognized way which people reduce the amount of emissions. Now, Canada's Commissioner of the Environment and Sustainable Development said recently things are not happening as fast enough. How important is it, in the face of all the challenges Canada is facing right now, to not lose sight of this commitment right now, because it seems like it is the issue that just went out the window for the sake of political expediency?
And I don't think it went out the window. I will say again, I don't believe that the environment is taking a backseat to anything else. I think both of the economy and the environment can run together in tandem. And I think that they both play an equally important role in Prime Minister Mark Carney's mind. He is focused on it. I know the carbon tax became a very sort of politicized piece. I will say, you know, Canada, I read a great article just a couple of weeks ago about how, even though post-COVID, we were seeing an increase in industrial activity, we saw an increase in population, we actually saw a decrease in our emissions as a country, which is pretty amazing. So I think, even though we're removing the tax on the consumer, the corporations are still going to be expected to pay for their pollution. And again, I go back to Mark, instead of having the carbon tax, Mark is going to look at ways to incentivize consumers to make those greener choices.
Is there any chance the carbon tax will come back?
I do not believe that will come back. Mark is a man of his word. He's acted, and that action is now, it is done. The carbon tax is done, and we're going to move forward in a new direction.
Besides the issues you and I have spoken about today, can you give one, and I'm going to hold you to one,
okay,
the issue you're hearing at the doorstep as you campaign?
So aside from Trump and tariffs, because I will be honest with you, that is probably the number one concern that we hear at the door. People are worried about Trump. They're worried about tariffs. They're worried about our relationship with our southern neighbors. Right. And
nothing else.
Well, we have heard, you know, we do hear about people talking about the environment, which you and I have spoken about. But I will say, really, the primary piece is people are worried. People are worried about Canada remaining sovereign, about how we're going to get through this period of time. And it is a period of time. And I do believe that we have the right leader in the Liberal Party leader, Prime Minister Mark Carney, to get us through this. He's world class, and I think he's got the knowledge, the expertise, and he's got the relationships around the globe to help us to navigate this.
How do you justify asking for another mandate after nearly a decade in power?
Well, I think that we've done some incredible things. I think the Liberal Party has done some great work over the past decade. There have been missteps. I will never sit and say that there haven't been, but we have done some wonderful things. If you look at PharmaCare, dental care, if you look at the $10 a day daycare program that we made agreements with all of the provinces with, if you look at the Canada Child Benefit, which has taken countless children out of poverty, and with a new leader and a refreshed, renewed sense of enthusiasm and energy, I think that we are poised to do great things in our next mandate.
338canada.com is projecting, as of March 28th, 48% support for Philip Lawrence, 39% for you. How are you going to make up that 9% over the next 4 weeks?
I think I went up another percent. That's pretty good. I'm going to tell you what, Robert, we do watch the polls. They play an important part in the work that we do. But I will share that that is not the only thing that we watch. We're talking to people at the door. We have made thousands upon thousands of contacts across this riding. I personally have been out knocking on doors and connecting with people across this riding for over 3 weeks now. I've been on leave from my job. This is where my focus and my energy needs to be, because I need to be here for the people in Northumberland Clark. And we have hit every community from Campbellford to Brighton, all the way over to Orono.
If you could sit down on a couch in a voter's home who is undecided at this point, what would you say to them in 30 seconds to convince them to give you their support on election day?
Geez, you and I have been sitting here talking, and you think I could do a 30-second answer? Holy, I'm just kidding. You know what? I'll be honest with you, Robert. I would sit and tell them that they can expect me to be here for them every single day. And my office door will always be open, because I see the role of MP. It's a role of service. And we are responsible to the electorate, to the people who have put us into office. And we need to make sure that we can be responsive to their needs, and that we are present and that we are ready to listen.
John Goheen, thank you so much for talking to me today.
And thank you for having me.
That was Liberal candidate John Goheen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.